Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
As the world of radio spins, we remain the same, with the exception of 1 hour earlier. From 2 to 6 o'clock is where you find the Damon Bruce Show during the summer hours. You also find Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky here as well, and we're good to have you along at 888-957-9570. We'll have a little to say about some of the spinning wheel of the radio world at the end of today's show, so stick around if you're interested in such a thing. That's going to be happening in a little bit. Right now, we've got an awful lot coming up. Jordan Poole, the newest Golden State Warrior, will be joining us sometime, hopefully in the next half hour. Andre Iguodala today, gentlemen, on CNBC, went there to basically let everybody know the New York Knicks ain't getting quite what they want, and his teammates, Clay and Durant, will probably still be his teammates going forward.
I think they'll both be back with the Golden State Warriors. We're like brothers. Wow. We keep in contact. But regardless of any of that, both did decide to leave. They will still be my brother. I still keep in contact with them as much as possible. And I just wish the best for both of those guys. They come back full strength.
You're crushing the Knicks fans here with this kind of...
Nobody's going to the Knicks. Sorry.
Nobody's going to the Knicks. Sorry. Just R.J. Barrett taking 35 shots at night as a rookie. Look, he might be right. He might have really pissed off the Knicks. Frank Isola says that the Knicks now want Andre Iguodala fined, which is comical when they just got fined today $50,000 by the NCAA for locking out a New York newspaper. And it's just one big mess of a joke of a toxic waste dump, no matter what. How does Andre Iguodala not relay that message to KD? Like, immediately. Like, man, I just left New York. And let me tell you, that thing stinks from 20 blocks away. You can smell it.
Well, one, I think Durant already knows it. Two, he's made it clear he doesn't want to be recruited. He would rather have Andre Iguodala as a friend than he would as a, you know, part of a corporate strategy. I'm guessing that the Warriors, as players, know not to try to sell him. I think he's made it clear that he doesn't want to be sold, that he doesn't want to be recruited. It's one of the reasons why a lot of people in the NBA seem to think that if he goes to the Nets, he won't necessarily want Kyrie Irving with him because he doesn't want him as a selling point. So,
what do you make of the alleged meetings between those two over the last?
I don't make anything of it. I think all of it's, you know, all of it's us trying to take, like, coffee grounds and turn them into tea leaves. I think we know nothing, and the amount of nothing that we know is more staggering than we can even put a finger on. I think we have no idea, and we have no idea how to get to an idea.
Are you seeing the theory now that the biggest mistake Toronto can make is loving Kawhi Leonard too hard? Like, the number one way to chase him. I mean, isn't this basically every single cautionary tale of a sophomore relationship you've ever had? Like, so the secret to really being desirable is to never treat your partner really, really well. Like, it's just, this is so childish. What, you can love someone too hard away because you're like, I got too much pressure to stay? No. That's being floated by some that the Toronto crowd, the Toronto fans have made too many overtures of loyalty for Kawhi to be comfortable with, and he'd rather go somewhere we can wear beige and blend in the city of Los Angeles a little bit. I mean, come on.
No,
if that's the delicate little flower you are, see ya.
Yeah, no, that's nonsense. What I've read among people who actually know the inner workings of the Toronto front office, which is they're not going to bother him anymore. They're going to say, we're here when you're ready for us, because you don't want to be sold. They believe he just wants to be left alone to decide what he wants to decide.
Safe space.
What the fans do is separate. You know, him getting a standing ovation at the Blue Jays game the other night, that's separate. That's not him getting pressured. That's just fans being fans. What they don't want, and I'm talking about both Durant and Leonard, is they don't want a daily call from Joe Lacob or George Colt. Yeah, basically saying, "Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming?" They
right.
want to be left.
You don't want to pester the guy.
Right. You don't want to. Yeah. You just say, "We've made our pitch. This is our pitch. We can't do any better than this. We're going to trust you as a man to make the choice you need to make."
And I think with Kyrie. I've got Kyrie and Kawhi conflated now.
Kyrie Irving.
With Kawhi, who I was trying to talk about, not Kyrie.
Kyrie.
I do think. The marriage brings us together today. I think with Kawhi, what we've learned all year long is a hands-off approach is the best approach, right?
Yes.
Oh, you don't want to play back-to-back? No problem. You do whatever you want. Oh, you don't want to have to show up at this thing or do that thing? Oh, no worries. And then you win a title. Spurs bothered him all year, and he wanted out.
You know, and eventually, someday down the line, Jordan Poole's going to know what it's like to be a subject of a discussion like this, because that's what happens when you join the NBA. Jordan Poole, Warriors first-round pick out of Michigan, good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. All of our guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Here to the Damon Bruce Show, I've got Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky with me. Jordan, thank you very much for joining us today. I know you've already talked to an awful lot of media. Thanks for talking to us one more time. Really appreciate having you here. Congratulations on even being here.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it's really got to be an amazing 48 hours for you since this all went down. Before we talk about the drafting process, I know you just left a tour of Chase Center. Did you already pick out your locker?
I did. I had the opportunity to look at the amazing facility, and it's coming along amazing. It's extremely beautiful, and I definitely had a little bit of say so on which locker I get.
Nice. A little bit nicer than Chrysler Arena, huh?
Yeah, it's not even done yet, and it's looking pretty good.
Nice, man. Well, hey, congratulations on being drafted. I'm a Big Ten honk. I went to Indiana, so whenever a Big Ten player shows up on the radar, I always get excited about it. Did you think the Warriors were going to be interested in drafting you after you worked out for them that week?
Yeah, so the Warriors were my first workout coming into the entire NBA draft process. I feel like I had a pretty good showing, and I didn't know that callbacks were a thing. They were actually my last workout before the NBA draft, and I feel like I had a really good showing on the way out and being able to end the process on a positive note. So kind of going through the process, I feel like Golden State was definitely a place that I would have the opportunity of playing in, and luckily I'm here now.
So when we talked to Bob Myers before the draft, Jordan, one of the things he said was we're definitely looking for guys who have NBA skills today. So for you coming in, what is the thing that you feel like, hey, I might have some things to work on, but this one skill is NBA ready right now?
Yeah, just being able to score the ball at all three levels, whether it's spacing the floor, but also being able to have the strength to create my own shot. But something that I wasn't really – put in the situation a lot in college with always I'm a really good primary ball handler. So being able to play the one, the two, and the combo guard and make plays for others around such a talented group, I feel like those are a couple of strengths that I'm able to bring to the court right away.
When you went to draft night, who did you think was going to take you?
I think in the talks with like the Spurs at 19 and 29, coming into the process, I felt really good about the Bucks, but they ended up trading their pick the night before. So, and they obviously Golden State. And I think the Nets, I had a really good workout with them, and they were in the talks as well. But Definitely was, it was really open on draft night, and luckily I was able to get called at 28.
One of the newest Golden State Warriors, Jordan Poole, here on 95.7 The Game. So you got to meet both Alan Smilagic and Eric Paschal today. Well, what do you think of your new teammates?
Yeah, so me and Eric have a really good relationship. We worked out with each other throughout the process, so we got to be really close in the last couple of months. And meeting Alan for the first time was cool. Obviously, you know, he's a really young kid, and we're all in the same situation together, but his situation's unique, you know, coming over. Having to learn a new language and playing with Santa Cruz. So it's being able just to meet the guys for the first time and knowing that we'll be together for these next couple of years, it was really good.
What do you think prepares you better for the life in the NBA, a G League schedule or the Big Ten Conference schedule?
Oh, that's tough. Only because, you know, the Big Ten is amazing, being able to play in the Big Ten the last 2 years with so many talented players. As well as knowing how it is to just, you know, go through the ringer. But I also haven't played in the G League, and Allen's an amazing player, and that's where he's been playing at, on top of playing professionally. So I feel like they both have their pros, but being able to experience my 2 years in college was definitely needed.
So obviously you know the injury situation that you're stepping into and the fact that the Warriors are looking for guys to score the ball from the wing. Do you come in with the goal of, hey, I want to be in the starting lineup night one? I mean, what are your goals like coming in, being picked at the end of the first round?
You know, coming in, I just want to make an impact. You know, somehow it's an amazing team. And obviously, you know, everything that's going on with the entire situation around the team right now. But finding a way to make an impact, whether it's on the bench, coming off the bench, starting. You know, but just learning a lot from guys like Steph, Clay, Draymond, and being able to soak everything in. Obviously, it's hopefully I can put myself in a situation to start, but more than anything, just being able to make an impact on the floor.
Other than the elevated level of competition, what is the thing that you think you need to go into training camp having to improve the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been really working hard on my body, you know, just being able to withstand the entire 82-plus game season. And now you're not playing against college kids anymore. You're playing against grown men. So just being able to physically be able to take all of the contact in the long season. So being able to become more explosive and stronger and really focus on the aspect of my body is something that I'm definitely looking forward to.
Warriors drafted Jordan Poole out of Michigan because they think he's a little bit of a shooter. Jordan, your new teammate is the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. If I'm you, I'm walking up to Steph Curry day one and saying, please teach me everything you know. And then I'm walking up to Aisha on night two and saying, would you please cook us dinner tonight?
For sure. That's quite the combination right there. So I'm blessed to be in the situation that I'm in.
So I want to ask you that there's this pool party thing that has happened, obviously around your last name and some big shots. So when the Warriors are building the graphic, because when you hit a three, they're going to have to get a graphic that's like a pool party thing that pops up on the Jumbotron. Right. What's the appropriate like movie scene for that? Like, do we get Anchorman? It's Ron Burgundy jumping into the pool. Like, what's the right pool scene for your pool party graphic?
Oh man, I haven't thought about it too much. Maybe I don't know, throw a scene in there with a couple of floaties.
Okay, there you go.
A couple of donuts, something like that.
Nice. Get a shot of you with like some floaties on the arms, just relaxing. Yeah. And then it's a pool party.
Pool in a pool.
There you go.
Got to splash around in the pool. Hey, it is really good to talk to you. Obviously, this is such an exciting time for you. Jordan, who's the one person in your family whose life is about to change the most because you reached the NBA? You got a brother, a sister, a cousin who's about to come live it up good with you out in the Bay Area?
I've talked about it with my best friends, you know, my mom and my dad. They're set, you know, as far as being at home, and my sister's still in college. But if I was to bring anybody, it'd probably be my best friend from home. So being able to, you know, we've been best friends since second grade, and he's worked with me through this entire process. So if anybody's coming to experience today on a long-term deal, it might be my best friend.
There you go. What's his name, Jordan?
His name is Raylan.
Well, let me just congratulate Raymond. let me congratulate you too, Jordan. What an incredible time this is for you. We wish you the very best. Good luck with all that you've got coming up in Summer League. And as you start your career, needless to say, we're going to be watching closely and be rooting for you. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Jordan Poole, Warriors' first pick out of the University of Michigan here on 95.7 The Game. I like them. I like them an awful lot.
I'll tell you what, man. The two college kids they got, they're winners on a microphone, on a phone line, and that may not mean all that much to the basketball down the road, but it's clearly something that matters to this team, and you can tell.
Look, I thought I was asking him a little bit of a playful question about the G League versus the Big Ten, giving him an opportunity to talk about the robust competition in the Big Ten, and I wanted to just soak on that for a little bit, but he took it more seriously than that. He turned it into a diplomatic answer.
Yeah,
because I don't want to belittle my teammate's accomplishments and how he got here. Like,
he gave a vaguely serious answer.
Right,
stupid question,
right,
about the pool party.
It was an on the surface question, which he gave a three dimensional answer to.
And to the 925 texter suggesting Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Jordan is 19 years old. So,
yeah, I mean, you saw that story over the weekend where they asked a bunch of draft choices.
What movie they remember. References?
Yeah, cultural references from 20 years ago. None.
Oh, they were.
Yeah.
They were for the draft class on Identify This Rap Group, and the rap group was Outkast.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're old. We're all old.
Yeah, but you know what? At 19, I could identify Led Zeppelin, right?
Right.
I think that was important.
I could have named every member of Earth, Wind, and Fire. I could have told you who each element was when I was about 10 years old.
You didn't have cell phones inundating you with today's thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Truthfully, I don't expect him to. History is what happened to old people. And when you're 20 and 21, old people is grandma, grandpa, and a bunch of other people with gray hair.
I'm barely old enough to be their father. I'm not grandpa, for God's sakes.
No, you're as soon as they look at you, they're going to go, man.
Oof. What went wrong?
Death.
God, age can be rough.
I have a full appreciation of how quickly the things we hold dear become ancient history. Yeah.
I do know that the pool party, he should use the scene from Caddyshack.
Oh, of course.
Someone saying the Fast Times at Ridgemont High pool party.
Yeah, I just didn't think that reference was young enough for him, so I didn't go with it.
Well, that's not going to happen. Plus, you can't have a topless Phoebe Cates walking around the Shea Center.
Because that would be a draw for some.
I watch every time.
It's a draw for the film.
I will say this. That scene has happened. I've seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High 300 times in my life.
And that scene 500?
I'm 300 times through that scene in its entirety. Haven't blinked yet. Damon, you said you also liked Reuben Foster after his interview. Well, you know, you're right. I did. And so did you. And Reuben Foster was delightful and friendly and at no point in time invited us so deep into his thinkery that you'd thought, well, he's going to be self-destructive with the women he hangs around with.
Yeah, and you know what? We don't know these guys. I think we try to remind ourselves and the audience of that regularly.
Can only get an inkling.
You don't know their deepest secrets. You don't know what they do on their own time behind closed doors, but you can still try to form a judgment from the interactions you do have with them. And sometimes you'll be wrong.
That's why I try not to do that, because I've seen too many examples of really glib press conference subjects who turn out to be lunkheads.
That's
or
fair.
Worse.
Yeah.
And after a while, you see enough of those, you just go, it's all eye candy.
But haven't you seen enough of those to know when you're looking at the real deal as opposed to the illusion?
Because
a magician should be able to spot the trick.
No, it's because athletes, and this has been true for the last 25 years, they know our business way better than we know theirs. And with a little bit of training, they can sell themselves to us because they are trained to know this is what they're after.
Yeah, I don't think it's them. I think somebody knows our business better.
Oh, no, it's most of them. I mean, I guarantee you, for all we think we know about Kevin Durant has used us.
Yes, but Kevin Durant, to me, is the rarity. J.R. Smith is not using the media. That's an example of someone else we talked about today.
J.R. Smith is the rarity.
Cookies. continue.
But you really think a guy like just like Jonas Jerebko is like? I mean,
yes,
there's a league filled with dudes who I just don't think probably think that much about it because they don't have to.
Yeah, I do believe that Jonas Jerebko has been around long enough to know how to play us, and we are there to be played.
Well, that's
certainly
true.
And they know it. Well, you combine those two things, and you've got where my position is, which is I don't care what their press conference is like. Show me what they do when they're regular folks, you know, confronted with, I don't want to say adversity because that's too harsh a word, but confronted
stuff.
With adult life.
Yeah. No, and I think if the discussion is, can we really know who this guy is at his core, then you're absolutely right. If the argument is, can we never, ever conclude anything based on information from these sorts of sources, I don't know. At a certain point, like, yes, we can be fooled. Whenever you make a conclusion, you can be fooled. But I think more often than not, we get a little bit of insight from these sorts of things, if not a lot.
Hey, it was really safe to be a fan of O.J. Simpson right until it wasn't. Right. I mean,
right. And there's always stuff like that can always happen to you. You can always get fooled. But I don't know.
That's why you never build a statue for anyone who's still living, because you want the full story to go through before you build the statue.
Yeah.
You never know.
It's just I feel like maybe sometimes these guys are a little more straightforward than we give them credit for.
You know who's pretty straightforward today? Just trying to upgrade that seat in an airplane that wasn't allowing seat upgrades. I got a little sympathy for Cam Newton, because Cam today offered a man who was sitting in
an exit row.
Yeah, he was sitting in an exit row. Obviously, this is not a flight that Cam Newton booked early enough to get a spot in first class. So he is walking aboard the flight, and he is asking a guy in an exit row if he could have his seat, if he could change. And he offers $1,500 for the extra legroom for a 10-hour-long flight. And a lot of people are looking at this video and trying to use it to shame or belittle or laugh at Cam Newton. And the only thing that I can tell you that Cam did wrong here was lowball the guy.
That's exactly what that was.
That's it. The only thing he did was lowball the guy. Otherwise, it's a legit ask from a guy with a pocket big enough to do it. The problem is the guy sitting in the seat probably had a big enough pocket to say no to it. You got to come more correct. Having said that, though, everyone's like, oh, man, it's a 10-hour flight, $1,500. That's only $150 an hour. Well, pre-tax.
I'll take it.
I'll take $150. I'll take $1,500 for minimal or maybe even maximum discomfort.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad 10
by the
hours.
By the way, it's not like I know any other life but coach, okay? I mean, like, I don't even know what it's like in any other section of the plane.
Well,
I've been in the overhead bin most of my career, and I think when you walk in and you don't have a compelling reason why you need the exit row other than you're who you are.
Well, I'm really big. I'm Cam Newton. I'm a taller, bigger, wider human than you.
Okay, show me how you can't possibly endure economy plus or whatever it is.
Well, it's regular economy. It was the difference between an exit row and regular economy, and that's a big difference. That's a big difference. And I'll tell you, I am not Damon Bruce's size nor Cam Newton's size, and I am uncomfortable in coach seats constantly.
Oh, no, you're meant to be.
Yeah, so if I'm uncomfortable, Cam Newton's really uncomfortable. That's a big, big, big man.
Which I get, but it's hard for me to word this the right way, but I'm going to do my best. If you come in leading with your wallet, you're saying to the guy you're asking, you can be bought because I'm a big deal.
It's big bank tank little bank.
Yeah, and frankly, I mean, if he came up to me and said, "Give me that seat, and I'll give you $1,500." How am I not a prostitute at that point?
No, all big bank, little bank.
If that's being a prostitute, count me in.
Fine.
Yeah, all things proper, no propaganda. I'll take the cash. Call me a slut. I'll go sit in the back of the plane and count my money for 10 hours.
I have two things I want to use to jerk us off of this topic.
Could we use another transitional statement?
Yes, wow. That I two things.
Segue.
I noted during Jordan Poole's discussion with us that the reading tea leaves, which, as Ray pointed out earlier, might actually be coffee grounds. But let's start with the one that I don't think is controversial. I like the teams that were interested in Jordan Poole. Like, it's an interesting question to ask him, hey, who'd you think you were going to be drafted by? And he said, you know, he felt good about the Warriors, and he talked about that process. And then he mentioned three other basketball teams.
All competent teams.
The Spurs, the Bucks, and the former New Jersey, current Brooklyn Nets. Those are three teams that are really smart about the way they scout prospects, that have drafted pretty darn well in recent years. Like, that makes me encouraged about this guy as a prospect, that he wasn't necessarily rated in the first round by all the jamokes out there making imaginary draft boards.
Right. Other teams we agree are smarter than the average bear.
Right.
We're all sort of checking him out.
I love that. The second thing, and this is getting way into tea leaves, did you catch, and we could probably play the audio, when one of us asked him about what's it going to be like playing with this team, learning from his teammates, and he said, I can't wait to learn from Steph, Clay, and Draymond. Just saying.
You like that?
Well, I like that, but I also noticed one name very missing from that.
What? Who?
Well, Clay's a free agent.
Oh, I know, but you can't be... Look,
he didn't say KD, did he?
Out of sight, out of mind, right?
Okay, but Clay's hurt too.
Right, but we all know that Clay's not going anywhere before he even signs the deal that proves he's not going anywhere. And
well, we all know that as Bay Area like sports followers, but he's just been in Michigan, and he specifically listed three of the four All-Stars that have been on this team the last couple of years and left the other one out. Maybe it's nothing. It's probably nothing. I'm just saying.
No, it's absolutely nothing.
Okay. All right.
You know, he didn't say anything about Dunn
scoring. No, either. He did not.
No,
he's probably gone too, though.
Shh. Dunn scoring. We can dream.
No, you can't. Not anymore. He's done.
Wow. That was very harsh.
They're moving him. They need space to get Timo Meier, who's a much better soundbite and a much better player.
I know. However,
if we just had someone going, Meier, that could work.
We could. Timo!
Yeah. Oh, Timo's much better
than
Meier.
888-957-9570. Your calls, welcome, and believe it or not, it's already about to be our final half an hour. We got you to 6 o'clock tonight. That's when Covey and Shasky are going to be taking on over. More sound, more dipping into what these rookies had to say today. What will we not be saying around NBA ownership groups? Well, one of those words we won't be using anymore, and it ain't the word group. How about this? Let's group source ourselves a little traffic if you're coming into the city. What's it look like out there?
Now, back to the Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
In terms of baseball season, we probably have more highlights in the Bay Area coming out of an angry Mets clubhouse than we do out of everyone getting along fine and dandy in the Giants clubhouse. Bad news out of the A's clubhouse, Trinan. IL'd. They're going to be losing their closer for a while. Giants are just losing baseball games for a while. And people are losing their cool in New York. We are, I got to take it into this sound. Mickey Callaway on the Mets incident where they basically took Jason Vargas, who covers the team for a New York paper, and mother effed him. Vargas is the pitcher. Who's the guy who's the Daily News?
Callaway? Callahan?
No, that's the code. What's that, Ray? Why is your mic not on?
Why can't we hear Ray?
His mic is on,
but it wasn't potted up. There we go. Now you're up.
It was turned down.
I can't cope.
It was turned down from the last time you left now.
I believe it was. Shut up.
Mickey Callaway.
Billy Martin punched a reporter one time. You know, I mean, it's just part of this game. You know, it's something that,
I'm a passionate guy about baseball, and I'm a tough competitor. And sometimes you'll see it with the umpires. Sometimes you'll see it with the players. And the thing is you guys don't need to see it directed towards you guys. That's you guys have a job to do. I understand that. I've always understood that. And you guys don't need it directed at you. That's the number one thing that I know.
Reporter's name is Tim Healy. Jason Vargas on an incident that turned into a big shouting match between players and media.
I think everybody's aware of the situation that happened yesterday. I think it's unfortunate for all parties, an unfortunate distraction. But tonight we got the Phillies to play. The team addressed the situation. The organization's made a statement. And, you know, that's really all there is to it. So thanks for taking your time, and we'll see you guys after the game.
There you go. So everyone's going to be really friendly to the media for, 72 hours, and then, you know, something else will happen.
Yeah, I can't believe he cited Billy Martin.
Well, hold on. And that's where I'm going.
Punching a guy.
Billy Martin punched a reporter one time. You know, I mean, it's just part of this game.
Billy Martin was a functioning alcoholic who had demons in every single direction he looked at. Brilliant baseball mind. No doubt about it. Billy Martin, great manager to the point where he would gladly volunteer to ruin your career to go to a four-man rotation. Like, Billy Martin was the baseball equivalent of a religious zealot. I mean, he was bonkers. He was officially a crazy man in a world that no longer tolerates crazy men. The correct thing to say on Mickey Callaway's part would have been, I was wrong, I need to be more professional, and I'm sorry. You don't offer up Billy Martin used to punch you, just be happy it's not like that anymore.
And Vargas didn't even apologize.
No.
I guess it shouldn't be surprising, but I can't believe he started there.
It's kind of awesome, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be awesome if, you know, punching people was actually an awesome thing.
But he didn't punch anybody. I mean,
no.
He didn't. But he was just saying it could have been worse.
Yeah. And like, that's just such plain proof that you don't understand. You don't bleeping get it.
Be like, hey, Don Baylor used to throw phones around this office, but we really don't do that anymore.
Like, I don't even know why bring that up? In what way does that...
I frankly... Lee Elia used to invite all the fans to come and watch him every day.
Right. You're citing bad acts by somebody else 40 years ago to make you look better?
You're sending a message to your general manager, Brody Van Wagenham, that you don't want to apologize, that this pisses you off, and that you're going to try to do this as sideways as possible. Because the other way of saying, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, is too offensive to him. I mean, it's basically one of the many ways in which the Mets internally are basically a hot dumpster fire and always have been, despite the fact, and I pointed this out before, they're 3.5 games out of a wild card spot in June. They have only 81 games plus to make that up, and instead they're doing this because their days are so unbearable.
If I made you unilateral commissioner of baseball beholden to no one tomorrow, would you discipline these two guys or the Mets in general for this?
Yeah.
In what way?
I tend to over punish because if it bothers me enough and I need to send messages.
Yeah.
I'd probably give Callaway 2 games and probably a start for Vargas.
Yeah.
I say, you know what? We are dangerously close to a point we haven't wanted to be in where we need them more than they need us. And guys who come out every day to cover us need to be treated like professionals.
That's the other part of the Billy Martin thing. When Billy Martin did that, baseball was king, and the Yankees were the kings of the kings. Baseball's desperate for attention now, and not this kind of attention.
Well, plus it's the Mets who already have a lousy reputation. You have a manager under fire. You have a team that, you know, basically overreacts to everything.
And you take it out on a reporter.
Yeah, because, you know.
You're a scumbag.
Well, no, it's not that you're a scumbag. It's because you're sitting there exposing one of the things that's lousy about baseball, which is that they think they always have to show their machismo, that there's something about baseball that they don't think is manly enough or testosterone fueled enough. I mean, if you want to be that guy, you know, go start screaming at one of the players on the other team. Oh, no, that's one of the unwritten rules.
Right. We're not allowed to do that, or Madison Bumgarner
basically
will throw a ball at me.
It's Mickey Callaway misunderstanding what the reporter said to him, and Jason Vargas offering the punch down, metaphorically. That doesn't play. It doesn't, I mean, even now, as weird as our society is now about the haves crushing the have-nots, punching down is a terrible look. And that's what they were trying to do.
By the way, anyone who thinks that the unwritten rules of baseball are just going to dissolve away and leave us with a game that's just more fun and everybody's happy with all the emotional tomfoolery that's been projected around, well, here you go. Wilson Contreras homered in the second inning tonight. He motions in the direction of the Braves' dugout, makes his way around first base. Both benches have cleared. Mob swarms around third baseline. Didn't take too long for it to be broken up. I love baseball players. Everybody's so testy.
Yeah, but they're testy without putting it out there. I mean, if you want to act like you're ready to have a fight, then have the fight. Otherwise, stop posturing.
Isn't that what we basically said to Bumgarner? Like, you want to go throw a punch at Matt? You want to go throw a punch at Max Muncy? Do it, tough guy.
Oh, no, it's this notion that somehow this falls under the unwritten rules. I mean, if you're screaming at people directly, that's different than a bat flip.
Yeah.
Okay, a bat flip is harmless. It's just an exuberance. If you make a great play in the outfield and you punch the air, that's an exuberance. When you start screaming at other guys, you're essentially saying, I regard you as worthless. What are you going to do about it? But when it comes time for somebody to come and do something about it, all you get is milling around. You know, if you're going to act like you want to have a fight, have the fight. Otherwise, just shut up.
I'm not excusing it. Texter asks, why does the media get a pass every time? I don't know
what?
I don't know what the media member said in that.
He said,
exchange.
I'll see you tomorrow.
He said, I'll see you tomorrow. Because Mickey Callaway had already dressed into his civilian clothes and had come out of his office, and the guy said, I'll see you tomorrow. And Callaway took it the wrong way. So I'm not sure what the...
How do you take I'll see you tomorrow the wrong way?
It's a good question.
The only postulation I've heard is that Callaway is supposed to be this close to being fired. And he might have taken it like, oh, what does that mean? But he snapped instead. I mean, he clearly misunderstood what he was being told and then acted like a jackass.
And frankly, even if he hadn't, let's say that media member is being kind of a jerk. And he's like, see you tomorrow, or maybe not. You still can't do that. You still can't totally lose your entire presence of mind and have a player threatening to punch. You can't have that. You have to, somehow you have to be a cooler head and prevail, or you don't get to do these things. That's how this stuff should work. Just be a human. And if you can't be a human consistently,
be a human.
Get out of here.
I mock your theories of being a human.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not going to be here.
888-957-9570. So Adam Silver told a lie to bring us closer to a truth, I guess. I don't know what this is or why Adam Silver went about talking about how the NBA is officially done with the term owner. I guess they're no longer going to be referring to the men and women who own basketball teams as owners, and that's fine. That's if that's the direction you're walking in, walking it without apology. Having said that, Adam Silver, while he was walking outside of his office, was confronted by TMZ cameras When asked him about the term owner, Adam Silver said, quote, "We moved away from that term years ago." Huh?
Does he mean months?
When we saw Silver out in New York City, we asked if he supported a decision and how the league office is handling the issue. Adam Silver says, I don't want to overreact to the term because, as I said earlier, people are twisting up themselves into knots to avoid using the word owner. But we moved away from that term years ago in the league. We call our team owners governor of the team and alternate governor.
Only for meetings.
No, you don't. No, you do. No, you do not. No one's ever said Governor Lacob, assistant governor, alternate governor Gruber. Never. Never. James Dolan is referred to more than any other owner in the NBA than Mark Cuban. Never heard either referred to as governor of the New York Knicks or governor of the Dallas Mavericks. I mean,
only context I've ever heard governor is, as Ray pointed out earlier, the board of governors. But I certainly never thought of that as a name for someone who owns a franchise.
Birmingham, they love the governor. True, true, true.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
Hence the term true. But no, it's playing fast and loose with just sort of, history.
Yes.
Just say, know what?
That's what it is.
It was called to our attention by some players that they find the term owner offensive to them because they don't want to be owned by people. And we hadn't really given it much thought, but yeah, they're right.
Sure.
It's all you had to do. That's all you had to do. Because as you said before, Matt, it's just what's the harm in not using the term anymore? There is no harm in it.
It's free to me.
Just don't make up stuff to make yourself look better.
Right. It's free to me to not offend you.
Sure.
It's free. Costs me nothing. Having said that, we might live in a world of delicate daisy ears, and people are radically softer than they used to be in so many different ways. It is nuts. The Dodgers, by the way, are the team you want to be. Unfortunately, it's not the team the Giants are right now. Do you see that they walked it off three straight games and they did it all with rookies? If the San Francisco Giants walked off three straight games with three different rookies, Albie would probably die of an overdose.
You'd have to scrape him off the ceiling.
Seriously. I don't know what it'd be the last we heard of him.
Facts.
Three straight walk-offs by three rookies. It's never been done before in baseball history. Verdugo, who was the 2014 second-round pick. It was Beedy, the 2015 12th-round pick. Will Smith, no, not that one, the other one. 2016 first-round pick. Walk it off, walk it off, walk it off. Wow. Not too shabby.
Dodgers are good. Dodgers also... And I don't want to jump off your topic right away, but did you see that they also are extending their netting?
Oh, all the way down because someone else got hit with a foul ball this weekend.
Bellinger corked again.
And my question is, does every stadium have to have someone seriously injured or killed before they eventually extend the netting? Or can we just agree that after seeing someone seriously injured or killed at a number of baseball games this year alone, we just extend the netting? It doesn't seem complicated to me.
I mean, why it isn't just universally done, like, hey, the next time your favorite baseball team leaves for a six-game road trip,
we're going to put up some nets.
We're going to extend more netting. And I used to be very much in the no new netting camp. That I used to live in that camp, and I felt good about it. And then a few things changed my mind. Number one, when they put up the new backstop at Oracle Park, that thing's invisible. You can sit... directly
behind it.
You get used
to it immediately.
It's invisible. It's the netting that is there but isn't there. Like, it's no big deal at all. It's not getting in the way of anything.
You know how you know it's not a big deal?
I see it with my own two eyes.
None of those seats behind home plate dropped in price because you can't see through the netting. All the best seats in the park are right behind the netting. So what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about somebody who's going to complain that they didn't have a chance to get a foul ball. That's the issue at hand here, which is no issue at all.
We're complaining about that a little bit, no doubt. That foul ball, that miracle foul ball that got to you, that is the epicenter of your sporting life souvenirs, might happen less and less and less and less. And that is a shame. It really is. Like, I am a 44-year-old man who's been to 1,000 major league games in my life. I've never caught a foul ball. If I did, I would squeal like a child.
Same.
If I actually caught a foul ball at a baseball game, I would be giddy about that. And I go to these things routinely. I also used to think that, you know, back when I was growing up, you had to pay attention at a baseball game. And if you wanted to be a baseball fan, you should pay attention at a baseball game, and you should even keep score. Hey. Like, I was old when I was young, okay? So I used to have a little element of, well, no wonder why you got a generation of lousier baseball fans. You didn't pay attention when you were even there, and it's an opportunity to get the hell off your phone and get your head in the game and pay attention a little bit, learn something. There's beauty in the symmetry. There's beauty in the asymmetrical aspect of this. There's poetry in the way the brick crunches. Instead of listening to the, you know, pulsating DJ, listen to the organ, listen to the brick crunch, all the little subtle things, the grass smell, blah, 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 blah. And then someone brought this up. Almost between every inning, Major League Baseball is encouraging you to download the Major League app. Make sure you follow along to today's game on your phone. They're encouraging you at every turn to be looking at something else other than the game. And you can't say it's all about the game when you're encouraging us to look at something other than the game. And the truth is, the netting, which used to kind of suck and ruin the day a little, has advanced leaps and bounds to the point of it's like parachute silk. You don't even see it, and it's strong as hell.
Yep.
So the reasons I used to have, basically born in stubbornness and old man thinkery, have both changed by technology and technology.
Yeah, and this other notion of, well, if you just pay attention, well, let me just paint a scenario for you.
Has advanced leaps and bounds to the point of it's like parachute silk. You don't even see it, and it's strong as hell.
Yep.
So the reasons I used to have, basically born in stubbornness and old man thinkery, have both changed by technology and technology.
Yeah, and this other notion of, well, if you just pay attention, well, let me just paint a scenario for you. 5-year-old girl is at the game. She gets some cotton candy. She's looking at the cotton candy while she eats it and is killed by a foul ball. Now, is that her fault? Should she have only eaten her cotton candy during the inning breaks? Like, it's just the notion that if everyone just watches this, no one could ever get hurt is insane. And it's insane to expect that every person, all 20-something thousand people or whatever it is in your baseball park are going to watch every pitch constantly. It's not happening.
No, it's basically look away from the game. Look away from the game. We're showing stuff on the scoreboard to distract you from the game because we're ashamed of the game somehow.
But never, ever
but
look
never,
away.
Never, ever look away from the game, even though we're trying to show you 50 ways to look away from the game.
Right.
It doesn't work.
There's a blinking brand new scoreboard every 10 feet you move your eyes.
Yeah, it's nothing but distractions. But don't be distracted.
Right.
Right.
You know why when I used to never research in between pitches? Launch angles. Now here I am looking for launch angle stats, and boom, right in the tuchus. I can't remember what show it was. I don't know if it was the Mythbusters or they actually did. It might have been some ESPN sports science thing where they took the average length of time it takes for a screaming hot foul ball to leave home plate to enter the that could cause damage portion, and it's like less than a tenth of a second. It's like within an eighth of a second that ball is on you. And to let you know that there is no amount of paying attention that can save you from that eighth of a second transaction being ticketed right at you, they had full-grown men and women sitting behind plexiglass staring at the pitching machine that was about to launch the ball at them slower than the actual. They could not generate a machine to make the ball move. And so it's moving even slower than it would off the bat. And it surprised the person staring at it every single time. Every time. Well, every single time.
Yeah, here's the thing. Why don't you have the reflexes of the people you're paying to see?
Right.
That's exactly right.
Why don't you move Scott Rowland over at third?
And here's another thing. And a texter kind of mentions this. Part of the fun of baseball in particular is hanging out in the park on a sunny day, having some beers, relaxing. And now you're telling me if I'm not vigilant, I might get my skull broken open. Six beers in. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's the price you pay.
The girl who died at the Blue Jackets game still looms large to this day. Hockey adopted nets, and attendance didn't suffer one bit. You're
Bingo.
Right.
They also got the nets put up almost immediately.
Yep.
And that was a more difficult engineering feat.
Every park in baseball could have these by the end of the All-Star break in a couple weeks.
An awful lot coming still on the way here. This is where Ray and I get off, but apparently you're still riding this train?
Yeah, I'm doing a little fill-in hour. They told me you're used to staying until 7, so just do it again. And here I am.
You agreed to that?
Yeah.
What a generous man you are.
I just, you know what it is? I miss Joe Shasky.
You auto-corrected from dumbass.
I'm excited to spend time with the Butcher Boy.
Hey, we want to thank Jordan Schultz. We want to thank Jay Billis. We want to thank Matt Kolsky. Ray Ratto, thank you, Albie. Thank you, Elena. And on a personal note, let me just say, thank you, Greg Papa, for many, many good years. I know he was an integral figure in bringing me to 95.7 The Game and Afternoon Drive years ago, and obviously I ain't leaving anytime soon. Guy did an awful lot. We respect what he did and wish him the very, very best, and I can only tell you that Steinmetz, Guru, and Bonte are going to have a hell of a show for you from 10 to 2 every day, now followed by us in our summertime hours. Plenty of sports to go around, everybody. A little over here doesn't mean a little over there. Everybody, relax. Calm down. And remember, sports don't build character. Duh. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.